Listen to this. Interest rates are at a 100-year low, allowing one bank to offer a five-year mortgage at less than 1%. So here to discuss some ways to take advantage of these historically low rates, as well as how they're affecting the housing market, is Mark Ting, our guide to personal finance and a partner with Foundation Wealth. Mark, hello there.
Hi, Gloria.
What about this? A five-year mortgage under 1%. Did you see that coming?
Nope, definitely didn't. But, you know, it's 2020, which is being full of surprises. So the one thing I do mention is, like, on the surface, this is an amazing rate. However, as with most things financial, it's important to look past the headlines, as there are several stipulations when qualifying for this rate. So it is a variable mortgage, which is discounted by 1.46% off of the prime lending rate, which is currently at 2.45%. So this is a variable mortgage, which means it's subject to change. So if the prime lending rate were to go up by, say, 0.5%, your mortgage rate would change accordingly and go from 0.99% to 1.49%, which is still a good rate. The other main stipulation is that this rate is only offered on insured mortgages. So insured mortgages are the ones where the borrower has less than 20% of a down payment, and they have to be covered by a mortgage loan insurance. And that expense is paid by the borrower. So to give you an example, on a $500,000 mortgage with a 5% down payment, that cost of insurance would be $20,000. So there you go. That's the trade-off. In order to qualify for this amazing rate of 1% variable mortgage, the borrower would potentially have upwards of tens of thousands of dollars to pay in insurance premiums.
Uh-huh. So do these low rates affect people who already have a mortgage?
Well, low rates affect everybody, whether you have a mortgage or not. So they'll have like a positive effect on the stock market, a negative effect on our currency. And with the lower loonie, that would increase the cost of our imported goods, such as food and equipment. Also, low rates increase the demand for real estate. For those who do have a mortgage, and, you know, I've been saying this for the past 6 months, mentioned it on the show. I've been telling people, go find out what it takes to break your mortgage. It might make sense to pay a penalty, break that contract, and lock in at a new lower rate. Most people who won't qualify for this 1% variable rate, as if they're breaking existing mortgage, it's likely not insured, but the rates are still at historic lows. So there's a good chance you can save some money, particularly if you're choosing a variable rate mortgage. Like, the competition for these types of mortgages is fierce. So, you know, now more than ever, it's the best time. It's a great time to sort of revisit your mortgages.
Well, and what are some other ways that people are taking advantage of these low rates?
Well, some people play the spread game, and that entails borrowing at a low rate, investing, and hoping to earn a higher rate. So, for example, someone could borrow, let's say, right now at 1% to 3%, and they bought an investment which returned 7% to 10%. The spread of roughly 6% to 7%, that's profit. So we see businesses do that all the time. A lot of sophisticated investors do this. I should stress the word sophisticated because we're dealing with leverage, which is great when it works because it just magnifies all your gains. But the reverse is true when things don't go according to plan. That's when your losses are magnified. So with these low rates, the risk seems lower. For example, if you borrow at 2%, your investment just needs to earn 2% to break even, which isn't a big hurdle, but still many people fail at the spread game. The people who do it well tend to be very disciplined and have a properly thought out investment strategy.
Now, if someone is considering a leveraged investment strategy, in what way do they have to be disciplined?
Well, in the past, we talked about this new trend of Robinhood and traders. They're the young, not very affluent, rookie traders, rookie buyers, many of whom are using the stock market sort of as a substitution for sports betting. So now that this has been happening for a while, the stats are out. And according to these stats, despite the market moving higher over the last 6 months, most of the Robinhood traders have lost money. And also, we found out that a lot of them borrowed to invest. And when they're borrowing, they're not borrowing at 1% to 3%. They have to borrow at like 6% to 10%, which makes that break-even hurdle that much higher. So I think this is like a terrible use of leverage. The risk is much too high for this demographic. So when I do this, and I do this, I've been doing it for years, but I try to pair my investments with my cost of borrowing. So I play the spread game by investing in investments that provide me mainly income, but also some potential for capital growth, investments like real estate, private mortgages, dividend payers, things like that. I would never use leverage for high growth or speculative investments like, you know, Bitcoin or marijuana. Leverage shouldn't be used for FOMO or get rich quick strategies. I only use it to create passive income, more of a get rich slow strategy.
Okay. We don't have a lot of time left here, Mark, but you did mention real estate earlier. I got to ask you about that. How have the low rates affected the real estate market?
We're in the middle of a pandemic, a recession. Lots of Canadians are still out of work, yet the real estate market continues to be hot thanks to the numerous government policies that which have replaced and in many cases enhanced personal wealth and income while lowering the cost of borrowing. So if it wasn't for these policies, both the stock market and housing markets would have crashed. Certain areas did better, single family homes, due to that exodus of downtown condos. None of those dire predictions that we heard from CMHC and others calling for double digit drops came to fruition. So basically, lower rates have really, really bolstered up our real estate market.
Okay. Hey, before I let you go, any gift giving ideas? That's our theme for today. What's your approach to gift giving in 2020?
Well, I did something very unusual. Probably not unusual for me, but what I did for my kids this year is I bought them Bitcoin for their Christmas. And luckily, I shopped early. So I bought in, probably last time we spoke, I bought a little bit for them. And it's gone up since then. So that's a good thing. But I gave them the stipulation that they cannot sell it. Or this is what I'm planning to do. They don't know about this
okay,
yet.
But okay.
They can't sell it for at least 10 years.
Well, that's a good one. We'll have to check back and just see how. But it's interesting to see it's already gained in value. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.